Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, the Dolphin. When we just singing songs around here, we feeling so good. Adam Gase got us just singing any kind of thing right now. Dolphins get win number 10 over the Buffalo Bills this past weekend, and that win mixed with the whooping that the Broncos took on Sunday from the Kansas City Chiefs put the Dolphins in the playoffs for the first time since 2008. Cleveland, we feel good right now, buddy. We got an actual quarterback behind center, somebody who can anticipate plays, who can get the ball to our receivers down the field. I think we got a chance of doing something special. What you see from the Miami Dolphins? Because you've been doubting them all season long. Let's see if you can say anything positive about them.
Sure, indeed, I have been. I have been one of their biggest detractors, but they have been able to come through with some grit, winning games they had to win. Can't take anything from them. You know, Mr. Ajay is running like one of the elite running backs in this league. Matt Moore has stepped in and hasn't missed a beat. They've been able to win some really tough games on the road, you know, in a very dramatic fashion, I might add. But that's neither here nor there. You win games that you have to win. You know, the other teams around them didn't take care of business the way they were supposed to, and now they're sitting at home, you know, watching the playoffs just like you and me. So, you know, hats off to the Miami Dolphins for doing what really not a lot of people thought that they could do. I'm not going to name any names specifically about, you know, hosts of this show, for example. But, I mean, a lot of people didn't really think that they had it in them to go, you know, 10-5. After the 1-4 start that they had, and you know rebound and do some things, so hats off to them, you know, and Dominican too making the Pro Bowl. I mean, that's big stuff down there in the 305.
Yeah, we'll get into the main reason I think for the turnaround, but yeah, it's good things down in the 305. Good things going down for the team down in the 305, and as you hear, we got plenty of reason to be singing songs down here. Somebody who's not really singing is the Tennessee Titans and the Oakland Raiders, obviously for different reasons, but for the similar reasons, but have different outcomes and consequences, as the Raiders have only lost 3 games, I think, this season, and they're on their way into the playoffs, obviously, trying to get that number one seed, and to lose their quarterback, man, that's a tough way to go. Now, we know Matt McGloin doesn't have the experience as a Matt Moore, but do you think Matt McGloin is a capable backup coming in here, and can he win some games in the playoffs?
It's definitely serviceable. I think it helps if they were able to get the first round bye there and get the 2 seed, therefore giving them a couple of weeks for him to kind of get, you know, reacclimated to being the starter. I am not sure that they're talented enough to compensate for the loss of, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. I know that they had a lot of come from behind wins this season, and I don't see Mr. McGloin being able to pull off those same kind of feats. I think that puts a lot more pressure on Latavius Murray and that defense that is kind of somewhat up and down. They definitely have some star caliber players on that side of the ball, but they don't always play very consistent. And I think that once the playoff starts and you start playing those better teams that can, you know, scheme for what it is that your weaknesses are, I think that they're going to run into a little bit of trouble. And Matt McGloin just not really being game time live sharp just yet, I think it's going to be a problem for him, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it'll probably be this week. I think they have the Broncos, and then heading into the playoffs, I think it'll definitely be an issue when you don't have your number one quarterback and the guy who's been challenging or in the conversation for MVP. I think that's also going to be MVP of the league. That is, that's going to have an impact on you when you don't have that player. This week we have a couple teams break their losing streak. The Browns get a W against those sorry San Diego Chargers, and the 49ers get a W. What say you about your boy Phillip Rivers and the Chargers?
Me and Mr. Rivers had a good long conversation, and I cussed his ass out. I'm basically now in the in the Cam Buford side of the ledger. He's nothing. He's dirt. He's a scumbucket. Don't ever really want to see him face-to-face ever again. And basically, not only did he lose me my number four pick in the confidence pick, but he let a team that had not won a game in maybe 17, 18 games win a game. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I know there was a little bit of shankopotamus. There was a little bit of shankopotamus going on in that game with, Rambo missing his, tying field goal. But still, if you're the number eight all-time touchdown throwing quarterback, you got to be able to beat the Cleveland Browns. That's just ridiculous. And me and him, we have an out. It's quits. It's quits with me. Yeah.
You know, it took some time, but you finally come around. And that was the sorry account by your boys there. And then the Steelers clinched the AFC North with the win on Sunday. So the Steelers looking strong, going into the playoffs and peaking at the right time. I had the Giants over the Eagles, and the Eagles came out and whooped up on the Giants last Thursday. The Giants are just erratic as Peyton, or as Eli Manning is, obviously. He leads the team, and he's just as erratic, and they are just as erratic. That's surprising. Looks like that Earl Thomas injury is going to be a lot more impactful than maybe you have imagined. Now we have teams throwing 70-yard bombs on the Seattle Seahawks. They can't seem to slow anybody down in the passing game. And that's going to be pretty impactful moving into the playoffs. What say you, sir?
It's certainly worst-case scenario. You were hoping to kind of put a Band-Aid on the situation and kind of make some other adjustments around the other parts of the defense to kind of compensate for the loss of the all-pro safety Earl Thomas. But it looks as of right now that elite passing teams are going to have a field day against the Seahawks. They don't get enough pressure on the quarterback, which leaves their secondary exposed, which leaves only one half of the field to work with. However, Richard Sherman locking down his side of the field is sufficient when you have two Pro Bowl safeties, and you just have a Pro Bowl safety and just two other replacements that are trying to fill the gap, not necessarily understanding different coverages, different schemes, where they're supposed to be. It can definitely be a problem. You definitely got to be worried about quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, going forward in the playoffs, because I have not seen the front seven get enough pressure on a quarterback in the last couple of weeks to really offset the loss of Earl Thomas. And it's worst case scenario, man. I said from the very beginning, I shudder to see what this team looks like without Earl Thomas back there in the secondary, because I knew that worst case scenario, this is what it could look like, and this is what it looks like. So, I mean, the alternative is just to score more points. Hopefully they try and target Jimmy Graham a little bit more on offense, which has been lacking lately, and just do the best that they can on defense. This is not the 2013 defense. This is not the same team that's been the number one defense for the last 4 years. It's a different animal. But, once the playoff starts, hopefully they can get that 2 seed and get that bye and see who comes to them hosting that second game. But right now, yeah, there's some adjustments to be made, and the loss of Earl Thomas is much more daunting it's not much more daunting than I anticipated, but it's just worst case scenario of how they can look.
Well, one of the reasons I like doing the show with you, Mr. Cleavon, Cleavy Wonder, is because sometimes, even when you don't mean to be, you actually show some objectivity. And you did mention it immediately upon injury, upon the diagnosis of Earl Thomas's injury, that this could have an adverse effect. Impact on the Legion of Boom. As you just mentioned, this is not your brother's Legion of Boom, so you're going to have to play accordingly. And you're asking them to score more points. So, I mean, you just ask him, Russell Wilson, to just create miracles. Is that what you're asking? Because with the receivers he has, the talent he's playing with, I mean, isn't he hamstrung there again?
He absolutely is. And, again, another tremendous loss was the loss of Sweet 16 on Sunday. Tyler Lockett with a broken fibula and tibia. So, I mean, that's your number two receiver. You have referred to this this receiving core as pedestrian many times over the course of the season. And it is extremely pedestrian at this point without him in the lineup and without throwing to the best catching tight end in the league more consistently. So, although, you know, they always say next man up, that doesn't really apply when you lose an all-pro safety, because the next man up is light years behind where the person in front of them was. In this particular instance, Paul Richardson stepping up to Tyler Lockett's position is not quite such a huge gap, because, you know, Paul Richardson was a second-round pick 2.5 years ago. And lightning fast, he has had some injury issues. So he's been, you know, pretty much healthy this season. So I think teams don't have a whole lot of film on him, and they're not quite sure what to expect and anticipate. They just know he's really fast. We'll give him a good cushion. But he has to develop that timing with Russell Wilson that Russell Wilson had with Tyler Lockett. So taking his second, or I'll say his third best weapon away from him is not helpful in any way, shape, or form or fashion. So putting more on his plate is unfortunately not something that you really should be doing, but at this point in this schedule, in the season, without Earl Thomas playing that safety position and making the defense the way it's supposed to be, that's the best you can hope for. It's hope that Russ is lightning sharp, hope they can do a little bit more in the running game than they have been. The offensive line has been absolutely abysmal all season long. They've been waiting for it to come around. It hasn't gotten there yet, but this is where we are.
Well, we'll see what happens, man. You know, I know it's a tough thing to face when you're looking up at the Dolphins as far as the record-wise. It's a place that you're really not accustomed to. And we'll see how they perform in the playoffs. It's sounding like a one-and-done, but there's plenty of reasons why it would be understandably so. Also, last week we had the Skins go ahead. I think they put up a 40-burger on the Chicago Bears. And you want to explain why you took the Bears over the surging Skins?
Skins weren't surging. They lost the week before. They looked absolutely terrible against Panthers on Monday night. And I thought they had basically quit and written the season off. And the Chicago Bears looked really, really good against the Green Bay Packers, took them down to the last, you know, ridiculous Hail Mary play from Aaron Rodgers to win that one. And the week before that, they almost won that game. So I saw the Chicago Bears making some strides, making some improvements behind Matt Barkley, got Alshon Jeffrey back. But, you know, the Skins took care of business and kept their playoff hopes alive. Kudos to them.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess we can give you some kudos points for going out on them there. Also, Tennessee got smashed by the Jaguars. Both of you and I had Tennessee. New England won their game pretty easily. Green Bay Packers, obviously, we just mentioned, won their game against the Vikings, who fallen and just cannot get up. We talked about the Chargers and their collapse. The Panthers – against the Falcons and you took the Panthers at home. I mean, against the hottest team in the, one of the hottest teams in the league.
Again, I thought that the Panthers would show some pride. They don't have a lot to play for, and I thought that the opportunity to make things difficult for one of their AFC South rivals would be enough motivation to get a victory at home. Apparently, I was mistaken. The Atlanta Falcons are super hot. That guy Gabriel is no joke. Julio Jones, you know, when healthy, three receiver in the league. Devontae Freeman, good, you know, good strong runner. Defense is adequate.
Well, one pick, we won't bust your chops on that one. I could, although I don't get it, I can see it. One pick you did get correctly is you had the New Orleans Saints over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that was a squeaker, if I remember correctly. Congrats on that.
I also have the Eagles over the Giants, Playboy. Just to throw that out there as well. Just to remind you.
All right. Well, you lost a week. Either way, you still came up with 9 picks out of 16 versus the 10 out of 16. You have time is running out on you.
Just saying, I was throwing some haymakers out there. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
I was throwing some haymakers.
Okay. Picks against the spread, you did get three correct. You held convincingly in the picks against the spread there for the weekend for the season. So I learned last week that Adam Gase is the coach of the year. To come back to have a team that starts, you know, brand new team that you're just getting acquainted with, start 1-4, turn things around and end up 10-5 with the game to go. I think that's deserving a coach of the year. Any objection for you?
You know, I actually have Adam Gase as the 5th best coach of the year, which is not bad. You know, the 5th best coach of the year is nothing to, you know, plug your nose at. You know, that means you're in the top 5. So that's fantastic. But there's a coach named Jack Del Rio. There's a coach named Bill Belichick. There's a coach named Jason Garrett. And there's a coach named Dirk Koetter. Over in Tampa Bay that have done better jobs as far as, you know, what they've been able to do and accomplish and where
better.
They're at. But, you know, but Adam Gase at 5, I got no problem with it.
Better jobs. He said he's the 5th best coach this season. Okay. Did any of those, the teams that you named and the coaches and the teams that you named, did they start off at 1-4? And bounce back to have to lose one of the next 9 games.
None of them were in a position to be that. And I believe one of them actually 2 of them had lose their starting quarterback, 1 for 4 games and 1 for 9 games. And the other 2 just did really formidable, great jobs. In Del Rio and Coder. So, you know. I mean, I appreciate the fact that Adam Gase was able to rally his team around him, finally get them to listen, you know, play as, you know, one team, you know, do your job, quote unquote. You know, that's great. That's fantastic. In which case, he should get a lot of pats on the back over there in South Beach.
Oh, with a lot of pats on the back, huh?
A lot of pats on the back.
This guy. Well, you know what will even be better than the pass on the back and even the Culture of the Year trophy, which you seem to not even have him in consideration for, would be playoff wins. And that's what he's going to get. He gets the opportunity to win playoff games. And we're going to see how he does this season. Unfortunately, one of the things he's likely to face is there's going to be a rematch when he faces the Pittsburgh Steelers, likely in the first round of the playoffs, because 3 face 6, and the Steelers, man, are going to be a problem for not only the Dolphins but anybody they face. What do you think about the Steelers and their playoff moves that they're making?
Definitely like the way they're gelling. Their defense is still a little bit suspect for me, but that offense is finally starting to click the way that we knew that they were capable of. And I think, you know, one of my childhood heroes, you know, Terry Bradshaw, kind of, you know, fanned the flames a little bit, calling Mr. Tomlin a cheerleader. I don't think that his players took too kindly to that, and I don't think that you took too kindly too, so that just kind of gives you more of that bunker mentality, us against the world. Even the greatest Steeler of all time is talking smack about you decades after he did what he did. Is definitely a little bit alarming. I don't really know where that whole thing was coming from, especially after he got his 100th win and his 5th NFC North title. I mean, this is not just some guy. I mean, we're not talking about Jeff Fisher, Dick Duron type coach. You know, we're talking about somebody that wins pretty consistently. So I think that just kind of added fuel to the fire and, man, makes them very dangerous once this playoff starts.
Yeah, as you state, that was a pretty low blow that Terry took at Mike Tomlin, and I think the proof is in the pudding. It actually just kind of uncovers and gives you a glimpse of who Terry Bradshaw is actually now. Whether you can confuse him and you could say he got confused in the language and times have changed a little bit. So when you say he's a cheerleader, maybe he's just thinking of a motivator coach versus an X and O's coach. But nonetheless, it came out very tasteless. And unfortunately, the Steelers have to deal with that. But Mike Tomlin, he actually responded excellently and eloquently. His response was beautiful. So, you know, kudos for him for not creating the hostile detention other than bringing up the Hollywood Henderson. And when he, everybody knows what he said about Tom, about Terry Bradshaw many years ago. But aside from that, his response was very eloquent, and I appreciate it. Speaking of coaches, and not that Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat at all, but the Ryans, the brother tandem was let go in Buffalo. Not just the head coach, but the tandem of the coaches was let go in Buffalo. I've always appreciated Buffalo, and I just appreciated Buffalo more so because in respect of what they accomplished, the 4 AFC championships in a row was very impressive. We know they didn't win the Super Bowl, but nonetheless, the 4 AFC championships in a row. So Buffalo's always been, I've appreciated them. But when they signed their last coach, it was kind of I kind of got a chuckle. What do you think about Mr. Rex Ryan and his being relieved of his duties there in Buffalo?
Well, first of all, I've always been a Rex Ryan guy. I've always got a sense of what he was trying to do and the culture that he tries to create within his football teams. And I think that he got off to a fantastic start when he came from Baltimore and went to the Jets, brought a couple of his Baltimore Raven guys over, Bart Scott, a few others, to kind of indoctrinate the team into that. He had Revis Island over there. They went to 2 straight AFC championships. It all looked great, and then it all kind of started to unravel on him. There were certain things that he wanted that the Jets wouldn't provide. They fired him, and then in the offseason, what they do, they go back and get Darrelle Revis, and they go get him a receiver in Brandon Marshall, and they go and get him a veteran quarterback, all the things he had always asked for. He gets to Buffalo. It's a little bit of a rebuilding process. Last year, not so great. This year, we're supposed to be off to a better start. His first and second round pick, Reggie Ragland and Shaq Lawson, both lost for the season. Sammy Watkins out for 10 to 12 weeks with a foot injury. We all know that injuries are a part of football. You have to make adjustments on the fly and do what you can. I just think that he didn't quite have enough time, and I think that bringing in Rob, I hate to say it, but I think that was probably the nail in the coffin. Rob just wasn't able to replicate past successes. He looked a lot like the coach that was coaching the Saints last year when they had the 30th ranked defense. So he didn't really have the talent to pull out things that he wanted to do. I thought it was a gutsy move when he fired the offensive coordinator. Everybody thought it was everyone else's fault, but after that they had the number one rushing offense in the league. Sadie McCoy was able to do his thing. I thought he got kind of a rough deal, but at the same time, when you put that kind of pressure on yourself and you point the bullseye right at yourself and you don't produce, this is what happens.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. This is what happens when you kind of have a lot of bloviating and bluster, and you really don't have the players on the team to back you up. Unfortunately, the defense went from 2 years ago where they were thinking they were number – they led the league in sacks. The next year is with 54 – I want to say they had 54 sacks of the team. The next season with Rex Ryan, they had 34 sacks. The same team, same players, just a different philosophy. And we saw the production. And then this year here, they're not even on pace for the 34 sacks that they amassed last year. So either the philosophy is dated or the message didn't get through the player. So we'll see if he shows up again as a D coordinator somewhere. But best of luck to Rex, and we'll miss his press conferences, no doubt. I'm looking forward to see this week. I want to see, did the Cowboys let Zeke break the rushing record? I noticed watching last week that they, in the third and fourth quarter, Darren McFadden was on the field a lot and not so much Zeke. So they were taking the carries away from him. Do you think he gets the record? I think he's about 130, 140 yards out. Do you think he gets it?
If it's 130, 140 yards out, absolutely not. I don't think that there's a possibility to do that. Of course, I am speaking from of not wanting to see anyone break Eric Dickerson's record. So I would like to not see that happen, even if it's Ezekiel Elliott. But I think if it's close, they let him go for it. I think if he's not close and the game's not close, that they pull him. And I think 130, 140 yards is a little bit far out. I think if it was more like 80, 90 yards, then they just leave him in there to make that happen. Because, again, the ultimate goal is the Lombardi Trophy. It's not some regular season statistic. Everybody knows that you're probably the second best rookie running back that's ever played football. So, I mean, I think that's probably good enough. You don't want to see – I mean, we had three starters break their legs last week. So you understand how violent the game is, and there are certain stats that are more important than others. I just don't think with the number one seed already wrapped up that this one's important enough to leave him out there if it's not this game isn't really having anything enough significance to leave him out there, so I don't think they will.
Okay, well, we got some big games. We got some big games coming up this week with some major playoff implications. I'm looking forward to watching the Lions and the Packers. I'm looking forward to watching the Giants and the Skins, as well as the Lions and the the Dolphins and the Patriots, and see how those things shake out. What games are you focused on this week?
Okay, well, I would say don't even worry about that Dolphins-Patriots game, because we don't know how that's going to work out, so just save yourself the time with that one. And I would focus on the New Orleans Saints-Atlanta Falcons game, because that one will actually determine who the number two seed in the NFC is.
Okay. Well, thank you once again for tuning in, man. It's another holiday show. We have the New Year's coming in this weekend. You and your wife have fun, man. Be safe, be merry, and so we can do the show next week, and we can talk about how I finished off the season number one in the picks again for the second year in a row.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see how that goes, Cam. I mean, you have some kind of weird stuff going on there, but, happy New Year to you as well, man. Be safe. Let's get to this show next Wednesday, and with the playoffs start, let's get down and make some prognostications.
That's right. Let's do it, man. Thank you. Happy New Year, Cleveland. Talk to you soon.
Right on, bro. Take it easy.
Later.
Peace.